The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight for a chill show this Friday. End of the line, Joel says, let's talk about science. Yes, Rock and Diesel says, just with the title, I know it will be a good show. Shalom. Yeah, I've been thinking about the war of the sexes and how ultimately the modern employment market, and I'm not saying employment has always been bad, and even today is always bad, but the employment market is a scam to register money into the state's databases so that your ex-wife can take part of it. That is essentially what it is. And on top of it, as people were pointing out in response to my title on Twitter today, you are thrown into the employment market. You're faced with one of the most stupid generations of women ever. You are competing with robots and Somalians, and you're supposed to be getting, and the system is designed for these H-1B imports and for making their life just possible. Because from their perspective, just accessing the U.S., even on a temporary basis, is kind of the gain here. It's the chance that they might come here permanently. It's the chance that they might marry someone locally and get a permanent form of immigration. And you're competing with this. And you're supposed not only to produce for your own survival, but for the sustenance of a woman and a family. And if you ever continue to produce in this form after she has made babies with you, she will be entitled to collect a part of it through judges. And so the idea that you're going to out there to make $60K a year is ridiculous. It's not your $60K. The state is taking a share. The woman is taking a share. The judges are taking a share. The lawyers are taking a share. The employment insurance is taking a share. The union dues are taking a share sometimes. You have absolutely nothing left in terms of good money. And there are two directions of resistance for the male resistance. If we want to be serious about it and create a societal movement against this, it's three-prong, actually. The first prong is demand more for marriage. The first prong is we have to demand more. The marriage contract must be, we will disengage from society as long as we don't find decent women that can bring something to the table in marriage, and that something should be a family, and that something should be a permanent loyalty. So demand more from marriages. The second prong is go to self-employment routes. These routes are more easy to make money from without judges knowing where it comes from, where it goes. You can include expenses. So the state has less of a take on self-employed money than it does on employment. So you can argue as a self-employed person that you're making less that year and then that you're making more the next year. You can escape some of the grabbing that will happen through the court. Jurisdictional changes. Your company can be elsewhere. You can move states if you are in trouble in a state that is too aggressively feminist. So the second, and eventually, there will be a bunch of jobs like plumber, the oil workers. There's a bunch of jobs that only men will do. And eventually, if the females get too aggressive at turning the employment economy into some kind of a slavery system, a matrix system, then what will happen is they will have to pay more for these self-employed jobs. Like, be a plumber and just charge more for your plumbing. Because there's not a woman in these DEI departments that will solder a copper pipe. So be a plumber and know your value, basically. Know that there are certain jobs that are absolutely essential to society. In fact, it's almost definitionally only those jobs that are necessary for society that somehow women don't want to do. And men must convert these jobs into self-employment so that they can jungle with that money differently. Rush Chifley sends a super chat. He says, I think we can safely transfer the Harry Sisson title of Slightly Perverted to Glenn Greenwald. I will get to this. We'll get to this. But first, I will finish with my third prong. Third prong is draw the feminist social welfare toward men. There are some men who contact me and they are desperate in life. And they are not employed, and they are very disappointed that they made whole college studies in computer science or whatever, and they don't get employed. They don't get employed by the gatekeeper female HR woman. I'm looking at your CV, and I don't think you'd be a right fit. And you have to take your talent and go home in these cases. You have to deprive the economy of your talent. So take the route of self-employment when it's possible. But also, absolutely abuse to the maximal extent. And by abuse, I don't mean illegally, but like profit to the maximum extent of all welfare opportunities that are meant for single mothers. And be single fathers out there, and be men on Medicare, and because if we don't profit from this, we create a biased system where women are always getting that safety net, and there's always the special circumstance. Oh, we're not giving free healthcare, but we're giving free healthcare to pregnant women, or we're not giving free healthcare to men, but we'll give free healthcare for a family of a single mother. We have to absolutely compete with women for that money and eventually dilute it so that it's meaningless. That way, with these three prongs, what we'll have is a return of marriage, a return of an employment market based on meritocracy. And if you don't adhere to meritocracy, then you're stuck hiring by contract self-employed males. And by competing on the welfare side, well, we will drain the resources of the state using gender equality as an argument. So whatever program they do for single mothers do benefit from it and do drain them as a man. Rock and Diesel sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, when I was a kid in the 90s in Lac-Saint-Jean, Quebec, the official unemployment was at 29%. The years women came in the workplace. Coincidences, of course. Women, immigrants, the whole system is pouring infinite cheap workforce. And, as a counselor, because I'm here and there are some men who come to me in DM sometimes and they ask for counseling in their life, I have to look at my own life also and admit that employment at times here and there has been a way to survive and sometimes just eat and have a roof over my head. But I never became rich working, and you'll never become rich working. The system is designed so that you don't. You'll never become rich, no matter how hard you work. You'll have to you'll have to drag that money and invest it and make savings and find a way to make these savings fructify like Bitcoin. If I look at my life, it's like employment has always served only one purpose, and is basic survival, never achieving anything with that money, never being able to save much. But then Bitcoin opportunities, Bitcoin savings, investment, this has paid off a lot. And so the employment market is not really even interesting. The employment market is the game of immigrants, and it's the game of people trading their liberty for a survival. But it is ultimately a system of slavery. And the reason women want to get you into that slavery is that you become a slave of them, partially. You become a slave of your feminist wife who will eventually divorce you. And whatever it is that you've put on your income tax report, she'll be able to collect a part of it. Someone is pointing out that Ross Chifley has done a super chat. I did read it. And now I will come back to it. So Glenn Greenwald has been exposed recently for, of course, exposed. Everyone knew he was gay. It was publicly known that he was gay. He's some kind of gay Brazilian, anti-Zionist, mainstream type of guy, mainstream journalist. And he got exposed in the sense that there were leaked videos of his private sexual behavior. Gay crap. And it's hard for me to look at this. I hate looking at this. So I watched a little part of a video where he's sucking the feet of a black man. And he's dressed as a kind of a housewife. So it's like a kink of submissiveness for homosexual males. Oh, I'm gonna lick your feet. Oh, you great black man. You are my king. It's so disgusting. And Richard Spencer was pointing out his private gay life is basically his political stance too. This sucking off of black feet. It's disgusting. And people are raising: should we judge a public contribution, a public person, based on his private life? Well. There's some caveats to say here. I think that judging on private life is often very wrong because falsehoods come from people's private life. I'm a good example. There's more falsehood about me out there on my private life than perhaps any modern public speaker. I mean, I have multiple rotations of hit pieces across the years that have been written about me, all false. So when we judge on the public, a public person by private matters, it's important to have a standard of evidence. And a woman claiming something is not meeting my standard of evidence. But here it's very different. Here it's very different because it's not a case where it's deniable. He acknowledges that those are videos of his. So the question of the certainty of the report is absolutely certain. He was engaging, he is engaging in this kinky, sexual, homosexual behavior. Now, to me, it doesn't really add anything. We already knew he was gay. And I think that, yes, you should judge someone for being gay. Simply because they don't have skin in the game of the future. They leave no descent. They don't reproduce. They satisfy themselves emotionally by buying humans like you would buy a dog. And so to me, homosexuals must be treated as dog owners when they try to be parents and not as biological parents. But how can you be licking a black man's feet at night and then the next day say something that's relevant to the state of Western civilization? You can't. You just can't. If you're in that mindset of, oh, am I not cute as a housewife? being fucked in the ass by a black man, you cannot have solutions to the modern problems of Western civilization. And so, yes, we should judge private life. When you're sure about that aspect of the private life, it does matter to political commentary. So that's my take on this. If he was someone bringing, say, purely scientific contributions, let's say he was a mathematician, then sure, you can take his proofs and say, oh, he's a very good mathematician. That proof is valid, and it's valid whether he sucks a black dick at night or not. That's one thing. But in the standard of being a public speaker, you carry a moral duty of not having the blind spots that will mislead your nation. And yes, Cat Lady Genocide says Greenwald isn't Brazilian, he's American. I understand, but he's spending so much time in Brazil that at this point I consider him a Brazilian. Yes, he's kind of a, I don't know, some sex tourist stuff maybe. End of the line, Joel says, he bought his children too. Well, yeah, that's a problem. You can't adhere to a moral duty with respect to the maintenance of your nation if you can't even apply this in your everyday life yourself. So yes, I judge Glenn Greenwald, but not so severely today as I always did, which is he's gay. And to me, that's an invalid position on sexual life. Wughead Rex says, so long as everyone is of age and is consenting, few care anymore. Yeah, I don't think it's a big revelation in the sense that you already had all the information. When someone tells you they're gay, believe them. You know, they're doing that kind of stuff. And whatever is the thing they're into, you would be disgusted at seeing the depravity of their sexual life. So to me, it's not super news. All right, what do we have here? An employee, a black employee getting fired, but she wants to get back to, I don't know, maybe I think it's said that she wanted to go back to get her stuff. But she seems to want to destroy the restaurant also. They're doing some good body slams against these women recently, let me tell you. Women are taking the body slams. It's been two or three that I've seen in the last few weeks. I want to get my stuff. Oh, she takes the jump over the counter. Some pans are flying.
Somebody's on the phone with the police, right?
Yeah, I'm on the phone with the police.
White man ensuring that the police is called. Okay. People are pointing out this may have been in an airport. I don't know. I have no idea. That's a big one. Supreme Court lets Trump strip 500,000 migrants of legal status. So there were 500,000 migrants that from Cuba and Venezuela, Haiti and Nicaragua that were granted temporary permission to live and work in the U.S. Fantastic. That is the kind of number that's a good chunk. If we can get a few of these decisions going in that direction, we may be having a dent into the demographic future of the U.S. So 500,000 is good. If they get deported the quickest possible, then they don't have an opportunity to marry. They don't have an opportunity to get an anchor baby or whatever. That is absolutely excellent. End of the line, Joel says, all the anchor babies need to be stripped of citizenship. Depends. It really depends. Because are we talking about babies that were made with an American citizen? Or are we really talking about touristic anchor babies? I would agree with you for the touristic anchor babies where the two parents come into the U.S. to make a baby. All four suspects in Jamie White's murder arrested face capital murder charges. And just as I predicted, this was all about race. A black man, a bunch of Hispanics, gangs that wanted to steal the car of Jamie White, the InfoWars journalist. That is why he got killed. An attempt at stealing his car, apparently. Protesters purposely stood in front of cars and got run over. Is that a new video? I think it may be. I haven't seen this one before, I think. I would write a bill. It will be the roll over a protester bill, giving absolute right for someone who is in fear of having their pickup windows attacked to roll over anyone standing in front of them with the intent of kidnapping them, of immobilizing their vehicle. Boom, double roll with the trailer. I would put it in the bill. That would be, you know, statutes 17.29B. You can also roll over the protester with a trailer if at that moment there was a trailer attached to your truck. Well, there you go. You're trying to kidnap people. You are stopping their movement. If I go around a woman at the mall and I'm like, I try to encircle her with my arms and I'm like, you can't move. And she says, why? And I'm like, you can't move because, I don't know, Democrats this or Republicans that. I'm protesting. I'm making a protest to block your moves. I would be in jail. If you do that to someone with a car, you should be in jail or you should be dead, in my view, philosophically. And so let's make the bills. Let's write the laws. Let's make it legal for someone to escape kidnapping by rolling over people that are trying to kidnap them. This one is the rise of the stay-at-home sons. This is what led me to my reflection on the state of, you know, these women, even some conservative women like Tommy Lahren, so-called conservative, they're ultimately feminist looking for a class of male slaves. They want you to have a little job at a little registered place with a little T4 or whatever it is that they're called, these payroll. They want how much you make to be on paper because they want to claim it at some point in divorce.
It's a major problem. And, you know, Speaker Johnson has been talking about those maybe deadbeat folks that are on Medicaid, and maybe some of those folks are the stay-at-home sons. We don't know. But I'll tell you this. Leave it to Gen Z to rebrand laziness and social awkwardness as something cutesy, like a stay-at-home son. They did much the same thing with quiet quitting, where you can go to work and do less. And if you call it quiet quitting, it's somehow better. But, Laura, I got to tell you, this is also a big problem when it comes to, I think, declining birth rates. People not getting married and having children, you know, that's a big problem. They blame it on women. Well, look at what young women have to choose from. The pickings are slim. Yes, we might have a feminism problem in America, but it's the feminization of men. There are a lot of young women out there that want to get married. They want to have kids. They want to have...
Bullshit. They are not anywhere near the numbers of men wanting that. given an age bracket. What people keep repeating to me about the dating market, men confronted with the young dating market, is there's 90%, 95% of the females you see on the streets, they're out of it. Even if they would be candidates. I mean, in the subsection of women who would be candidates by age and just because they're functional women, they are too busy with college. They are pursuing some career. It's not the right time right now. And so, no, there is absolutely other directions that women are taking instead of the family. Therefore, what's left is a very, very small pool of women wanting to make families, and they will all get picked up very quick. So we have a massive issue that is totally reversed than what she describes. Now, she says that women want to have families. They all will tell you that, but it's going to be later. If you ask them, do you want a family now? Are you ready for full JF insemination now? The number that are fully ready is like ridiculously low.
Stable families, but there are a lot of young men out there who want to live in mama's basement and order DoorDash. And therein lies a big part of the problem.
But see, you have to make it appealing. Men are living in mama's basement because that's all they can do. They would all love to be out of there. They would all love to be out of there if you gave them something worth pursuing. But here's the problem. You have the welfare system that's giving them, anyways, payments that are more generous than what they could get. Do you realize there are people who would lose money if they started working today? They start working at McDonald's. Yes, Roof. Full JF insemination now. And yes, you're making the Roman salute. I think it's an appropriate salute in this context. There are people who, if they were to start working at McDo right now, they would start losing money because they're making more with paid healthcare by Medicare, food stamps, local community help systems, state-based system, federal grants. And in the end, you have so much generosity that has went out there on the pretext of, oh, we're going to help. We're going to help these struggling single moms. That you created a whole system of making it so that the bottom of society is actually higher than... Like if you're unemployed, you will make more money and more benefits than if you are employed. So the only reason a job at McDonald's is interesting in those circumstances is if you happen to not qualify for these special programs, or if you're coming from outside the US, therefore you end up with all these Indian employees because it's their way to enter the US. Now, if it's your way to enter the US, that becomes an appealing choice. But it's not an appealing choice compared to the state of current welfare in the US. Secondly, these jobs, you end up competing as you try to get them with hundreds of applicants because the system has been spammed with replacement cheap labor force such that someone like me, like super intelligent creative guy who could be an efficient server, I could be an efficient cashier, I could be an efficient manager of basically anything. But I'm competing with 100 other applicants and I'm stuck with these women in front of me saying, I'm not sure it's exactly fit for you. Well, you're not sure because you're a fucking dummy. You're like a monkey to me. And so, no, you cannot perceive how good I would be as a manager because you're looking at my CV and you're assuming whatever he's done in the past is all he can do. And at some point, people like me get annoyed and we don't want to go through this system anymore because we are being disrespected, honestly, disrespected. So at some point in my life, I decided to stop soliciting employment and I've been sleeping like a baby since. And I've been committing my time to fruitful enterprises, self-employed pursuits of contracts, making more money, paying less taxes, qualifying more expenses, and not being pursued by my exes because they have no clue how much I'm making. Whereas if I was a manager at McDo, they would know exactly how much I'm making and they would be able to collect it straight from McDo. So why in the world would I want to be diminished by a woman HR person? I'm so brilliant that she can't capture it. I'm so much above her that she cannot even conceive how better of an employee I would be than some random Indian that she's going to pick up anyway because she's been told to. I'm not playing a game that I can't win. I'm only playing games that I can win. And so I started being self-employed, published my book. I'm going to make my own money. No editor house. I'm going to make my money on it forever. I'm going to keep those rights forever. When I die and people start buying the book in drove, the money's going to go straight to my children. Fuck you, Tommy Lahren. Fuck you, HR females. I don't give a shit anymore. I will only work for myself and I will not be your slave. Now, because there are so many men who have taken that path at this point, there is a shortage of employed men. Because these women have so little capacity to evaluate the quality of a man on their own. They have no pillars inside. This woman right here, Tommy Lahren, has nothing inside of her. She's a shell. She's not able to see a man and evaluate his quality for herself. And so what does she need? She needs social signals. She needs confirmation biases from the rest of society. And a lot of females in the dating market, they are basically using employment as a social signal of fitness. Oh, well, he got employed. He got chosen. But what are you doing there? What are you doing when you do this? This is where the level of autism is way too low in this society. People don't go as deep as they should. What are you doing when you, Tommy Lahren, are selecting someone based on whether he reports $100,000 or $1 million income every year? You are letting other females choose your husband. And that is an evolutionary error. That is the greatest evolutionary error that a female can commit. You have just let society decide who was your next husband. You have not selected for the genetic quality that will make him independent, freedom-loving, a fighter, a warrior that will go to war for you. You have selected him on sheeplessness, on sheepishness. You have selected a sheep that is capable of passing the great filter of fat women in HR departments deciding who they hire. And you're going to end up with a low testosterone man, Tommy. It's extremely sad. Extremely sad, because you're going to end up with a slave of the state who reports his $1 million that he got at his job, that he got selected for. Sheepleness, says John Drake, that would be the term. You're going to end up with a sheep. And hopefully there are still women out there that are capable of making their own choice. And they will end up with the non-slaves, with the alpha males that they deserve. Because the rest of society, I would say, based on my evaluation and experience, 95% of the women out there, they are selecting based on cuckoldry of some sort. Social cuckoldry, social signals of submissiveness. They are selecting beta, basically. They are closing themselves into a corner where they will always have a beta male. And then they will complain. Years down the line, they start complaining, oh, well, my mate is a beta male. Well, what process did you use to select him? Because an alpha male, for example, would go full Bitcoin in 2017, 2018. An alpha male would get canceled in some form. An alpha male would not be employed and yet find ways to survive through his self-employment and and other investment. But are you going to select that guy? Are you going to select the guy who's canceled, unemployed, but doing okay? Because it takes a little bit of guts. And Tommy Lahren seems like she's not that kind of woman who's capable of disregarding the social signal. New Guy Prime says, well, yeah, go trad. Trad girls, no. Avoid whores. Yeah, I do know that there are good women out there who are capable of selection, but they are rare. They are very rare. Tinder is implementing a height filter for users. So see, another like stupid filter, height. You have these women who are so obsessed about their male being tall. Like they have this deal breaker line at 5'7", 5'8", or something, or 5'10". Women are so obsessed with this relatively meaningless signal that they're going to end up fighting for a subset of males. Can you imagine at some point they will be exhausting men of quality of this very small subset, and they will end up with, oh yeah, he's tall, but he's an asshole. Oh yeah, he's tall, but he's disloyal. So they are fighting for the wrong signs. Filter, 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 says Stray. Yes, the word of the day is filter. Cat Lady Genocide says, male to female ratio, male to female ratio is 100 to 1 at least. I'm sure this new filter will fix things. Yeah, this new filter will just, I mean, it's sub-selection. It's always, it's what people talk about when they talk of hypergamy and the problem with the 2080 rules. It's the filter gets too selective unilaterally, and the game ends up being lost by everyone. Really, everyone loses in this. If you're so obsessed about these criteria that you end up ignoring 99% of men, which is effectively what's currently happening, well, you know, you deserve your 1%. But disloyal, 1% but asshole, 1% but stupid, Chad. A streamer gets abused by his girlfriend. Oh yeah, this is a collection of videos. Some of them I've already seen. This guy was getting roughened by his girlfriend, and even the brother of the girlfriend comes in.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Nick! What do you mean, Nick?
Oi.
What do you mean, Nick?
Get out!
Get out!
Oh!
These females can be quite violent, let me tell you.
What did you say, wives? Uh-oh. I've been fucked!
Oh, relax! What's this sucker that you've been hitting myself?
Oh, here we go. Fucking hell, hitting. Really hitting.
Yeah.
Hold up, chat.
What the fuck is this fight, bro? Take a moment to stop punching in all directions and put a good hook in. What the fuck is this fight strategy? Now that's time for a body slam. He's not body slamming her. But I don't know what's the story here. Why is this streamer being attacked by this woman all the time? Anyways, Jeff Younger says, don't marry. These fathers will lose their kids, a third of their pre-tax income, their house and their children's lives will be destroyed. The risk is too high. On that, I have a slightly different position. I'm not saying don't marry. I'm saying marry, but be illiquid. Don't own a house in your name. Don't own big companies. Don't own stock. Be hard to catch on how much value you have. And one of the best way, very simple way to do this while also profiting, is to be fully in Bitcoin. Because all of these, and you know, be in Bitcoin under multiple public addresses. Don't just stack in all a single wallet. Just spread the love on the Bitcoin blockchain. Spread the love in sub wallets, and and then you can marry. You have to be careful. You have to be only investing in the marriage what you know you can lose, because you're gonna lose it most of the time. But it's still worth trying marriage, because if you don't marry, then what is the game? You're gonna try inseminating random woman here and there. If you abandon reproduction, in my view, you have a non-viable strategy evolutionarily. So there has to be a strategy. But yes, protect yourself. Joshua Lizek was saying, anecdote, an alarming number of millennial men have shared with me that their marriages have collapsed because their wives took a crash turn to the left last year and everything is different now. Where once there was romance, there isn't even a modicum of respect. She's gone. Yes, you have to be careful. You'll see these women are radicals, and they veer extreme left, and they start hating on you because you voted Trump or something. And it's like, the only resistance you can do against this is let them go insane. Let them go, oh, I will divorce you if you vote Trump, and just make sure that your money is in Bitcoin. And that it's not that she doesn't know about it, then there's nothing she can do. I mean, she can take your kids, which she's going to do anyway. So just try to do your best in family court, but you're probably not going to get justice in a liberal state. Cat Lady Genocide says, Jeff, where did these family courts go wrong? I mean, from the inception, arguably. They went wrong in the 70s, 80s. I think this was kind of documented where classical divorces that were happening were leaving the property to the man, and therefore the man was getting the house, and therefore he was keeping the kids too. So basically divorces 100 years ago were basically crazy woman going away, like I've seen in my life at times. Crazy woman just going away because they can't take it anymore. They can't take their own insanity, as they can't tolerate their role as a woman and a wife. That used to be this very small percentage of divorces, and I'm almost okay with it, you know.
Family courts are flawed by design and have always been.
Yes, absolutely. But then the person who was causing the break of the marriage was punished by losing everything. Eventually, no fault divorce is what rose from the 70s to the 90s and was completely cemented and applied across the whole states, for liberal states at least, in the 90s. And then it was this conception that if you don't, marriage is no promise because no one will hold you to that promise. And if you want to break it at any point in time, we will consider that it's not a fault of yours that you want to break it. But that was effectively barring marriage as a promise, marriage as a contract. It was effectively saying, when you say for better or worse and till death do us part, it means absolutely nothing. There is no one who will hold you for breaking that promise. Mr. Wisco says, no burden of proof. Always the first step is for the woman to claim abuse for an upper hand. Absolutely. And they get coached by liars to systematically do that. Because, oh, if you don't claim abuse, I can't guarantee that you'll get your children. And so they do exactly what the liars tell them. And that's what happens when you create an easily abused system. Especially a system that believes women. Trump doesn't rule out pardoning Diddy. He used to really like me a lot.
Consider pardoning. He was a good friend of yours back then. He has since found himself in some very serious legal trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you ever consider pardoning him?
Nobody's asked. You had to be the one to ask, Peter, but nobody's asked. But I know people are thinking about it. I know they're thinking about it. I think some people have been very close to asking. First of all, I'd look at what's happening, and I haven't been watching it too closely, although it's certainly getting a lot of coverage. I haven't seen him. I haven't spoken to him in years. He used to really like me a lot, but I think when I ran for politics, he sort of, that relationship busted up. From what I read, I don't know, he didn't tell me that, but I'd read some little bit nasty statements in the paper all of a sudden. You know, it's different. You become a much different person when you run for politics and you do what's right. I could do other things, and I'm sure he...
That's interesting, because PDD was cozying up with Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris, and I think it may cost him a potential pardon. If he had been more warm to the Trump presidency, perhaps he could have had a pardon. Ruth Sternwood says, crepe early teen beauties for eggs. 2. Embryo select for ultra chads. 3. Let the ASICs and GPUs warm the A wombs. What is what is this? Some sort of strategy for creating the matrix? You want to extract eggs from young females so that they're fresh for the revolutionary phenotype. Wow. Calm down. Greatest Whitest North says, vote or die. Was Diddy a push, wasn't it? Was Diddy a push? What does that mean? I don't know. Diddy was definitely someone who imported a very Jewish tradition into the black community of rappers. And he was kind of at the interface between the Jewish world of rappers, controlling downstream their rappers, and him being kind of a black gangster rapper rising as an alternative, or as a... alternative is not the right word here. I think he was part of that system. He was he was contained within the Jewish control of the music industry. Elon Musk is reporting that Lil X hit him in the face, and so he has a bruise.
I wanted to ask quickly, Mr. Musk, what is your eye okay? What happened to your eye? I know this was a bruise there.
Well, it wasn't, I wasn't anywhere near France, so,
what does that mean?
No,
I didn't notice it.
First lady of France.
I didn't notice.
I was just horsing around with Lil X, and I said, go ahead, punch me in the face, and he did. It turns out even a five-year-old punching you in the face actually does.
No, was X that did?
Yeah.
X could do it. If you knew X,
I saw his mom right now. I didn't really feel much.
I don't know, does Lil X have behavioral problems? Because, of course, Elon Musk presents it as an experiment that he was doing with him. That would be okay, I guess. But we've seen that little ex looked at Trump and was saying, shut the fuck up. Something like this. He was whispering to Trump. And so is little ex okay? Does he have some sort of deep autism of some kind? It seems like maybe he does. California's high cost, low incentives are scaring away film and TV producers, report says. Well, no shit. I mean, who would go to this shithole anymore to continue producing when you know you're gonna have all these DEI rules coming from the state? You're gonna be unable to work when there's COVID. They've destroyed their own economy, and I genuinely hope that California goes into bankruptcy, like where literally the state empties itself and it becomes really the Mexican desert that it deserves to be. I have infinite hatred for California, and I hope that it kind of stands as a marker in American history. To any other states, never do that. Never self-destroy in the way they did. Trump says he will double the U.S. steel tariffs to 50%. President Trump announced late on Friday that his administration will double tariffs on steel imports. The goal is to stimulate the local steel production in the U.S. Okay, that keeps changing, but okay, I guess that's the... We have to see what will be the result of this. Will this reawaken American manufacturing? Mark Mitchell reports, coming soon, 55% of men under 40 are single, and 42% of them aren't even interested in dating. What the heck? Well, the offer is not worth it. So right now, with the level of commitment that a marriage contract gives you, you know you're going to end up inseminating a woman and she's going to divorce you within a year. She's going to divorce you during the pregnancy these days. So then most of my time before 40 years old, I will spend it doing other things, playing games on the computer, investing, doing risky stuff to up my value, knowing that that play, that interfacing that I have to do with these bitches is like 1 or 2 years of my life before they leave me. So, yeah, if I have 40 years of my life and you're telling me that my reproductive moment is 1 to 2 years and then I'm going to be dropped by the person I married, that leaves me 38 years to do something else. And that's what they're doing. They're doing something else because doing something else is more interesting. For some of them, it may mean staying at home and doing nothing and playing games. For some of them, it may be pursuing career stuff and just passions and stuff that is productive, but that will not be productive to a marriage because we don't have marriage anymore. But it's the natural result of what you would expect if you devalue marriage and employment, which is exactly immigration and feminism have led to the devaluation of two things, marriage and labor. So there you go. You created this situation. Ross Chifley sends a super chat. He says, do you think Glenn Greenwald's leak was a coordinated up by either the Israeli or Brazilian governments? I know he is detested by the Brazilian deep state for his journalism in that part of the world. Of course, when you're at the point where you have sex videos that were obviously filmed while you knew you were being filmed, there's a problem there. Because you're never going to get the JF sex tape. Never. You can pay me $1 million. You can pay me $50 million if you want. You're never going to get the JF sex tape because it's very possible for public personalities to be disciplined enough to say, no, there's not going to be a little game where you film me, and no, I will not allow that. No, I will not get excited about the sexual play of making a homemade porn video with my own wife. Ooh. Because any such record, you know, at some point it's going to be published. You know, at some point some computer is going to get hacked. The photos will leak, the videos will leak. You know, it's always trouble. And so I will never commit to. So when you ask me, is the release a psyop? Well, a up of some kind because he has these political positions. Well, certainly, but let's not even get there. First, let's start. It's an act of irresponsibility of him to be engaging in this gay sex in front of a camera. Because everyone knows that that's what happens to personalities. The people that are around you, 50% of the people who come to you are agents of some kind. They're there to mess you up in some way. Sometimes they're literally paid FBI agents or CIA agents. Sometimes they're just agents of trouble, I would say. And they come to mess your life. So you know that. And on top of it, if you're in the gay world, everyone is for sale in the gay world. Like, oh, I think it was some kind of gay prostitute that he was having sex with. So, oh, you're having your little gay trip of being a submissive housewife in front of a Brazilian black prostitute male, and you're letting him film this. So when these releases happen, first there is the first and foremost, these people are defective in their brain. I think Glenn Greenwald must suffer from some sort of excitement or sexual narcissism of maybe it could leak one day, you know, and maybe I could get excited at the idea of having a sex tape of me. They let it go. They let it happen. But yeah, secondly, why are these leaks happening? In the end, yes, there is always a taker. There is always a government. Of course, we know Glenn Greenwald has been critical of Israel. And he's been critical of stuff in South America, too. So he has enough enemies that, yes, certainly someone out there is going to be willing to pay $500 for the videos from the black male prostitute. And you know that a black male prostitute running around with HIV, needing medication every month, and coke and whatever he's consuming, you know there's gonna be some point at which the money just the money interest here are too tight. Here you have a man who needs money, and you have countries very much willing to pay money. Mr. Wisco says he is Jewish. Greenwald is Jewish. I haven't paid attention to this. I didn't know. Because I don't really care about his contribution. I think wasn't he big in the days of the NRA disclosure and Edward Snowden? In that sense, he has contributed classically at an attack against the deep state of sorts. But since then, I haven't found super relevance in his stuff, so I haven't followed closely. Rodila Sid says, JF, would the sex tape have been better if he was the one standing and some gay guy licking his colonizer feet? Really not. I mean, you could argue, oh, well, at least it's not submissive, but it's like, if you're playing any sort of gay sex games, you are engaging deeply into a non-reproductive act, and the simple fact that you are trying to redirect the natural excitation of the insemination moment towards something else that has nothing to do with it, that doesn't even come close as even possible insemination. To me, that's the great sin. The sin is not in the submissiveness play. it's in the gayness. It's in the gayness itself. Joe Rogan says he thinks Candace Owens is right about Brigitte Macron. Macron is married to a man who bitch-slapped him in a private jet. I think Candace Owens is right. At the end of the day, the first thing you have to say is, what kind of 40-year-old dates a 15-year-old? That's crazy. Yeah. I would love for this to be finally settled. Can someone capture DNA samples from Brigitte Macron? That would be so great. All we need is a little, I mean, just a little cigarette maybe with saliva on it. I would like to know if she has XY chromosomes. Greatest Whitest North says, you will never find an R guy in the Jew sphere. There is always something fucked up about them, maybe by design. Yes, I would agree. I just didn't know that Greenwald, whether he's a Jew or not, I never thought about the question. He may be the only person I never asked myself if he's Jewish or not, for some reason. Maybe he's in my blind spot of my Jew-dar. It's like, I've never cared whether he's Jewish or not. Lord of Sigma says, because he's French, he will get a pass, as French are kind of eccentric and weird chic. No offense, Jeff. Oh yeah, in France, he wouldn't get cancelled for Brigitte Macron being a man. Because in France, there is this reverence of bizarre sexuality that is absolutely unhealthy, in my view. And talking about unhealthy sexuality, convicted pedophile and registered sex offender Anthony Weiner appeared on The View as part of his attempted political comeback.
Over a sexting scandal. 2 years later, you stepped down from the mayoral race after sexting again under the alias Carlos Danger. And then in 2016, you sent lewd texts to a minor and served 15 months in prison, in addition to becoming a registered sex offender. Aye. So with all that said, why do you think, or why...
It's so funny, leftist morality. Because you can be forgiven for pedophilia. But you can't be forgiven for being a Trump fan or just being conservative or even if you're racist. These things will never be forgiven by the left, but you can be a pedo.
Why should New Yorkers give you a chance at a political comeback?
Well, let me just say this. I mean, all of that happened, and I accept responsibility for it. You won't hear me do what some other people in public life have done, Donald Trump or Andrew Cuomo or Eric Adams. I'm a victim. They persecuted me for no reason. I was dealing with very serious problems. I was dealing with what I now understand to be addiction. I lost my brother Seth to addiction. And I accept it. I didn't ask for a trial.
You lost your brother to addiction, but your brother didn't overdose with pedophilia. So let's say your brother died from addiction to drugs. You have an addiction to pedo stuff. You're not gonna die. But it's graver. It's graver than just an addiction. All right, anyways, that is it for now, boys. I'm going on a weekend break. I'm gonna go surf. I think I'm gonna go do some surfing on the West Coast. Try to catch big waves, you know, try to... I've always dreamed of catching the perfect wave. I'm gonna go smoke, surf, just drink a beer. Bye-bye.